these fools, they'll never learn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Food for Thought podcast. We are back for our bi-weekly episodes.
That's right.
You may notice something a little different. We've done this before, but, you know, it's not often this happens, but we are missing someone.
We are missing Sir Cyros.
And where is he? You have to think of something, like, fake and funny now. Where is he?
He's a journey to the center of the earth.
Okay. Hollow Earth, even.
Hollow, yes, given, you know, we've watched...
fairly recently.
Yeah, we watched Monarch and, yeah, the new Godzilla film. So, yeah, he's traveled to... He's journeyed to Hollow Earth.
Yeah, King Kong God... Or however you call it. King Kong times Godzilla. King Kong X Godzilla, whatever the hell we're calling it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, shut your brain off.
100%.
Yeah, but it's got big monsters punching each other in the face, so can't complain about that. Yes, welcome everyone. If you're new to the Food for Thought podcast, we are a bi-weekly martial arts cinema podcast where I sit down with my wife, Devon, and sometimes my friend, Cyrus. And yeah, unfortunately, Cyrus is unwell. He's not feeling great.
So we got to stay home and record. Ah, crap. Alexa, stop. Alexa, stop.
I wonder if we can get her to be our third host. If we just ask her to read the Wikipedia page of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, it should work. We review martial arts cinema films, and today, obviously, I've given it away. We are reviewing Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, yes. The year 2000's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. We wanted to do something a little more highbrow, although this film, not as highbrow as I recall. Hmm. It's a kind of thinking person's film, but you can watch this film without studying it and digging deep into it. And it's just I don't want to reveal what I think about the film too early. Are we just jumping into the film? I've got two things I just want to mention because they're very relative to martial arts cinema.
Go for it.
So one, martial arts cinema fans, I just want to let you know, if you didn't know, the producer of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon has just announced that he wants to produce a brand new, I think he said something like world-shaking or genre-defining martial arts film. He wants to let people know that martial arts cinema is back and in a big way. So he has got Kenji Tanigaki to direct. Kenji Tanigaki is a very, very famous fight choreographer. He did the fight choreography for Rurouni Kenshin. Do you remember that we watched?
Yes.
Yeah. And he's done fight choreography for a whole lot of films as well, but he's legendary for being... Remember that trailer I showed you earlier?
Yeah.
For Walled In?
Yeah.
He did the fight choreography for that film.
Okay.
So Kenji Tanigaki is directing. I imagine he's doing the fight choreography as well. The people that are in this film are nuts. So you've got... I can't say his name. I think it's Zhao Mao, which is, remember the little kid from New Legend of Shaolin?
No.
Well, you haven't seen that film.
Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, my bad.
I guess they can't answer me back and go, yeah, we remember. The little kid, he's all grown up now. He's in really good film. Yes, we did a film for the podcast with him in. Do you remember the Blind Samurai film, Eye for an Eye?
Yes.
That's him.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
He's in the film. Mad Dog from the Raid, Yayan Ruhian.
Was that the little guy?
A long-haired little
guy. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's in the film.
Okay.
The bigger guy from Marshall Club, you might not know him, but Brian Lay is in the film. There's Joe Taslim is in the film as well. So anyway, my point is a host of amazing actors are getting together with Kenji Tanigaki kind of leading the charge. And they really want to put out literally a genre-shaking film. They want to bring back the martial arts film. And I am so excited. I know it's got someone else in it who I've absolutely... Ji Jia Yanin's in it as well, which is the girl from... Remember Chocolate, the autistic girl?
Yes.
That she is in it as well.
Okay.
So that's just one of the things I want to briefly mention because, we should all be behind that because it's very exciting news. It's called The Furious. That's what the film's called. And that second bit of news I had, I was lying about. Apparently, I only had one bit of news. I thought I had two, but apparently I only had one, so no big deal. So let's go ahead and get into the film proper. We're going to try and keep this relatively short, although I could probably talk about this film for a very, very long time. So Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the year 2000, directed...
Are we going to give our opinion?
Yeah. I'm just giving a little...
do that first.
Yeah.
Got it.
Directed by...
Ang Lee.
Well done. Who also directed...
Lots of other stuff.
Name one.
Brokeback Mountain.
You're very good. Name two.
Did he do Last Samurai?
No.
Oh.
He did do Hulk, though. The first ever Hulk with Eric Banner.
Ew. Okay.
Directed by Ang Lee. Starring Chow Yun-Fat, Michelle Yeoh, Zhang Ziyi, Chan Chen, and of course, Cheng Pei-Pei pops up in this one, which is incredible seeing her. She's kind of the first lady of Shaw Brothers.
Who is she?
Jade Fox.
Ah.
Very famous. She's in a film called Come Drink With Me, which is like the first female-fronted wuxia film for Shaw Brothers. I don't like it. Everyone else does. Everyone labels it a classic. I don't care for it. Okay. But she's a very important actress in the kung fu cinema genre.
Okay.
Fight choreography by... No?
Somebody famous.
Yung Wu Ping. Yung Wu Ping did the fight choreography. We all know who he is. We're not going to talk about him. Interestingly, the assistant martial arts director on this film was a guy called Ku Huan Chu, who I wasn't aware of, but he was the assistant martial arts director on Fist of Legend, Once Upon a Time in China 2, Iron Monkey, Raging Fire, and a shitload more films. So I think he's like Yung Wu Ping's go-to in terms of assistant martial arts directors, which is amazing because I've never heard of him, so I couldn't put a face to the name, put it that way. The film is based on a wuxia novel that was published between 1941 and 1942, and I thought this was quite funny. The cinematographer of this film, Peter Powell, the film he worked on before Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, you know Crouching Tiger is beautiful to look at, it's very artistic.
Yeah.
The film he worked on before Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was Dracula 2000.
Really?
Yeah. How nuts is that?
Oh, wow.
That he goes from Dracula 2000 to this.
Step up, I'd say.
We watched Dracula 2000 recently, didn't we? Was that
not
the one we watched? 2000.
No, that's not the one we watched.
Oh, didn't we?
I forget which one we watched.
It wasn't great. Oh, the one we watched wasn't great.
No.
And the last thing I'm going to say, well, I've got a whole bunch of facts on it, but the budget was $31 million. That's today's $31 million. Back then it was $17 million, but I changed it for inflation. And the box office back then was $214 million, aka $388 million these days. So it made close to $200 million.
Yeah.
And it was nominated for a slew of Oscars.
Right.
And it won... four, I think, including Best Foreign Picture. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
I think the answer is probably quite obvious, but correct. Evan, what did you think of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is a fantastic film.
Imagine if you just turned around and went, oh, it's garbage. I hate it. It's so shit. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's a fantastic film. I remember, obviously, you know, I saw it years ago.
You haven't seen it in a while, then?
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Okay.
I've seen it, like, probably twice. But, of course, many, many years ago. And I remember feeling that it was more complicated than it is.
It's not complicated.
It's not complicated at all.
Not even remotely.
So watching it again last night, I was just like, oh, this is a lot simpler than I thought when I was younger. Regardless, fantastic. Very, very good movie.
Yeah, I think... You know, this word is thrown around a lot on social media these days, but I'm going to use it because I actually do believe that Crouching Tiger is a masterpiece. I think it is an incredible film that I understand now why it literally redefined the wuxia genre. Kung fu films, not even wuxia. I mean, there haven't been a ton of landmark wuxias after that. Hero, House of Flying Daggers, you know, stuff like that. But it redefined the kung fu movie. I know The Matrix came out a year before it and that had kung fu in it. But this is Crouching Tiger is a proper kung fu film.
Right.
I was so surprised by how many fight scenes are in this film. I forgot.
Yeah, there are a lot.
I forgot. There's a lot of fight scenes. And I tell you what, the one thing this film does correctly is the length of the fight scenes. They are long.
Yeah.
They are long. The first one with the chase. And it's so long. It's such a long fight scene. It's fantastic. Did you know Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon had a TV series?
No.
It aired in the US, and it was called New Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in the US.
What the hell?
It was like, I think I wrote it down, 34 episodes.
I don't remember.
I've seen clips from it. I mean, it looks like a Wuxia TV series, but, you know.
No, I never heard of it. No, never even heard of it.
Did you know that Jet Li was up for the role of Li Mubai?
No, I did not.
Yep, Jet Li was up for the role, but his wife was pregnant at the time.
Ah.
And he promised her that he would be with her when he had the child.
Right.
So he turned the film down. Yeah, whole bunch of interesting things. IMDb, by the way, says that this is Chow Yun-fat's first ever kung fu film. Not true.
What?
Not true. Can you name one before this? Chow Yun-fat. Kung fu.
Oh.
Not gun fu.
Oh.
Kung fu. He's not known
Well, then, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd be able to name it. But the film, The Postman Strikes Back, I would say that's considered a kung fu film. And by the way, he did a shitload of, not a shitload, but he did TVB television where he did lots of swordplay stuff. So he's done kung fu before. Yeah. What's the last Chow Yun-fat film we did? The Killer.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we did The Seventh Curse as well? Do you remember that one?
No.
That crazy fantasy one where the kids got squished in the vice and it had the monster at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Chow Yun-fat blew it up with a rocket launcher.
Yes.
That's a great film. Anyway.
Oh, the Indiana Jones type film.
Yes.
Right.
Good time.
Got it.
What's the film about? Love. I don't mean give me the plot. Love. But it's about love.
Love.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So it's a love story.
100%. I think.
Okay. And the love is between...
Oh.
Or is there more than... I'm just multiple trying to get people. Something out of you.
Oh, multiple people, I think.
Okay, so Li Mubai and...
Obviously.
Is it Shulian?
Yeah.
Shulian?
Yeah.
And then, well, it gets complicated after that.
Does it?
Jen and Dark Cloud.
Correct.
Does Jen love Dark Cloud?
I think she does.
Okay, why doesn't she go away with him?
So, I think by the end of that movie, I mean, she was the cause of a lot of heartbreak, a lot of, like, basically two people's death. So, I think that's why.
That's why she couldn't stay with him.
Yeah.
I agree.
And also the love between her and, or the love that Jade Fox had for her.
Now, that one's an interesting one, because that was technically love, but I'm going to use an internet buzzword here. It was toxic love.
Yes.
It wasn't exactly healthy.
No.
So when it comes to Crouching Tiger, we'll get into the film and the plot and everything, but I think there's a lot of themes to this film. And I personally, I struggled with trying to kind of weigh out each scene. And by that, I mean, I struggle with going, well, it's about this, but it's also about this, and it's about this, but is it about this? I kind of question myself. So the film, I definitely agree with you 100%, it's about love. But I also think how it's about love conquers everything. At the end of the day, love, if we all make love a precedent in our life, then we'll all be a lot happier. Because love represents, and this is a theme in the film, represents freedom. Mm. And it's not necessarily freedom as in you can go out in the world and live your life, though that too, but it represents freedom from other things. In this case, Li Mubai, for example, his love, if he gave himself up to it, which he doesn't,
right.
He refuses to, it would represent the freedom from essentially killing people.
Right.
He is so torn, and this is the other theme. There's a theme here of heroes and villains, I think, yeah. As well. I think the hero of the piece is obviously Michelle Yeoh, Li Mubai, and the villain of the piece, Jade Fox. And then Dark Cloud is kind of in the middle. He is a villain, yes. Because he robs from people.
He robs people.
But he's kind of very loving and very poetic and very kind. Mm-hmm. So he's not quite... So I like that. I like that it represents... Heroes, villains.
I wouldn't classify him as a villain.
No, you say hero?
I don't think I would classify him as a hero either.
Middle,
yeah.
In the middle.
Okay, fine.
And what is Jen?
Ugh. Honestly? I feel like she's a bit of a villain.
I think she represents the battle between heroics mm-hmm. and villainy.
Okay.
Because she is a villain. I mean, she's a dickhead through a lot of this.
Yeah, film. And that was definitely something that I took away watching it this time that I didn't get my first two times watching it. She's an ass.
But I think she's a bit of a petulant child.
Exactly. Yeah, she's a brat. 100% she's a brat.
A brat.
However, but in her being a brat, in her decisions and her behavior and how it affects the people around her, and because she's so like spoiled and childish, she doesn't realize it at the time, which is what goes to, I think, at the end, she finally realized like what her actions have done.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, yeah, but I mean, yeah, she sucks.
She does. I think it's very interesting. There's a moment early on in the film, and I think I have it in my notes, actually, where her rebellion is revealed, or her brattiness is revealed in the smallest act. It's not her going to steal the Green Destiny. It's not her saying, well, I want to be a hero, when Michelle Yeoh says, well, it's not all, you know, not all flashy swordplay and being, you know, revered everywhere. She's like, it's dirty beds and living in the same clothes for 3 days straight. Yep. But she's like, I want to be a hero just like you. But there's a smaller act in the film. Early on, Jade Fox comes to her and goes, here's some silk pajamas. And she goes, and then Zhang Zi or Jen a second later goes, I'm tired. And, and Jade Fox goes, you should go to bed. And she just doesn't put the pajamas on. She just goes into bed, gets into bed, lies down. Mm-hmm. And I thought that, oh, she brought you those pajamas and you're being petulant. You're being rebellious for the sake of being rebellious. And I think that's what brats do, right? They're just awkward, yeah. Annoying, yeah, just... Yeah. Contradicting.
And then even in those little moments with her and Michelle Yeoh, where, you know, where she's, Michelle Yeoh is talking to her and trying to reason with her, and for a split second, you know, it seems like, you know, she's gonna make a better choice, and then she rebels, and she's stubborn, and she's like, no.
Yeah. I think there's definitely a theme of, yeah, I don't know if it's a theme, it's just such a character trait of Jen that she doesn't know what she wants. She's confusion. She wants love, but she doesn't want love. She wants to be a hero, but she like doesn't understand the weight of being a hero. And I think it's an interesting, she's very conflicted, but in a, not in a, like a...
She goes along with a marriage she doesn't... Well,
yeah.
She doesn't want because of, I guess, obligation.
Yeah, I think...
But yet she had the opportunity to... But then she was willing to stay with Dark Cloud, but then he was like, you being with me is causing me trouble.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. I think... I don't think... I'm not saying she represents like puberty or anything, but she definitely represents the confusion that comes with being a young person and not knowing what you want. And someone saying, oh, well, this high life, this being a celebrity is perfect. And she's like, oh, I want to be a celebrity. And it's, you know, it's not all fun and games. You know, I'm sure fucking Beyonce will tell you it's not all fun and games. Well, that's probably not true. You know, Taylor Swift is the first ever pop star to be a billionaire. They announced it the other day. A self-made, like, not like Beyonce, they got all her money from Jay-Z as well. She's a self-created billionaire.
Crazy.
Taylor Swift. Anyway. Michelle Yeoh, from the moment Lee Mubai walks through the door, her eyes...
Yeah.
Immediately, yeah. I love this man.
Yeah.
I love this man.
Yep, it was all in her facial expression.
God, why was she not nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah, it was great.
Incredible.
Yeah, I caught that too. It was all in her facial expression.
I mean, I'm glad she got an Oscar eventually, but she should have been considered for this film. Her facial expressions in this film to Li Mubai, incredible. She talks, she says so much with her face. I loved it. I literally said she's loved this man for years, and you can tell she longs for him, not in a sexual way, but in a loving, romantic way.
Yeah,
she longs for him. Also, when that music hits immediately, God, there's good music in this film. It immediately starts, and I was just like, oh, I'm invested in this world. Yeah, Yo-Yo Ma, good guy, does some good stuff.
Good guy.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, I took no notes. As you can see, Sean has his phone out.
I have a
usually I have, and you know, if I take notes, you know, I have my phone out too. I didn't take a single goddamn note. I just sat and watched and enjoyed this film.
Yeah, I have to make notes or we wouldn't talk about anything.
Right.
And I wrote a shitload of notes and I just really, really have to, I really just have to like wade through them at the moment because I've got things where I'm just like, what did I mean by that? I love the fact that when someone picks up, the film starts, Limo Bai chats to Michelle Yeoh. They reveal basically that they love each other, but Limo Bai.
Not really.
They do really love each other. They just refuse to give in
No. I mean, of course they do. I know they do, but I'm saying they don't really admit it to each other.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Not that they don't love each other. They didn't admit. Yes, correct. Yeah. It's very subtle. It's very, You see what I'm saying? I'm saying I love you. And the other guy's going, what? I'm saying I love you. So it's a lot of that going on. And Lima Bai basically says that he can't give in to the world. He's a hero. He's enlightened on the hills of Wudan or Wudan Mountain. Mm-hmm. He is a hero through and through. And he can't put, or he's trying to put that life aside so eventually he can
settle down with Michelle. Yeah,
exactly. And
as a part of that, he wants to give away his sword.
Bingo bango, which is called
The Green Destiny.
It's a brilliant moment in the film where he gives it to an old friend. Right. I can't remember his name. Sir Len?
I can't remember either.
And this old man, he takes the sword out of the case, and it's this beautiful-looking sword, and he goes, oh, it's heavy. Metaphor. It's not heavy. It's heavy with death, though.
Right.
Heavy with... The commitment Limu Bai gave to that sword, I think. I think that's a bit of a metaphor, it could be I'm just picking up on random things. Also, what does the word infamous mean?
Infamous?
I know what it means.
Yeah.
Doesn't it mean famous for a negative reason?
That's what I thought.
At the one point, Limu Bai goes, oh, we're infamous.
Right.
But he's a hero. Or is it because he kills people?
That would be my assumption.
Interesting. I thought it was very, very meta. There's a very meta moment in this film where Jen, who's Zhang Zi, is talking to Xu Lian, which is Michelle Yeoh, and they're talking about heroes and being a hero and what it means. And Michelle Yeoh goes, oh, because, sorry, I'm missing out a part. Zhang Zi, Jen, goes, I want to be like it is in the books, like all the Wuxia novels. I want to be a hero like it is in the books. And Michelle Yeoh goes, they romanticize being a hero in the books.
Right.
It's very meta because the film romanticizes being a hero in Crouching Tiger.
I suppose.
It does add some tragic elements to it, but it's a very romanticized world they're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was very interesting. Funny enough, a lot of this film it's hard to really talk about the plot because a lot of it is like people talking and there's plot progression, but it's more like what people specifically say. And
I mean, really, basically the plot is the Green Destiny sword gets stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Who stole it? Who, and also, trying to find Jade Fox, this, you know, infamous criminal, villain.
Jade Fox killed
Wise Master. Right, and how Jade Fox might be related to the person who stole the sword.
Yeah. Chow Yun-Fat's after Jade Fox because she killed his master.
Right.
And, of course, this is a spoiler, but I'm sure you've all seen it. Zhang Zi steals the sword.
Yeah. I feel like in any case, I don't feel like we have to mention spoilers because obviously if they're watching this, then they know that we're going to talk about the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So, spoilers aplenty. Guess what, guys? Edward Norton and Brad Pitt. Same guy.
Person.
Same guy.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Willis. Ghost.
No, that's Patrick Swayze. Yeah, buddy. Well, I tell you what. Kaiser Soze. Kevin Spacey.
That's right.
One. In a minute, we're going to drop one that we're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have said that one. Yeah. I'm pretty safe. We're safe with those ones, I think.
I think we're safe. I would hope so by now.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. True story. In school, someone went to see Fight Club and he came into school the next day and I was in English class with him. He was like the one buddy I sat next to in high school in English class. And he comes up to me and he goes, oh, Fight Club, oof, good film. I was like, oh, really? Is it really good? He's like, yeah, it's crazy that that Brad Pitt and Edward Norton are the same guy. I was like, what? He goes, oh, yeah, that's what happens at the end. I was like, why would you tell me that? Why did you do that? He's just like, oh shit, I'm sorry. I mean, you've just literally ruined the entire film. So I knew he hadn't seen Sixth Sense. Mm-hmm. So I went, you know Sixth Sense? He goes, what? I go, Bruce Willis is dead the whole time. And he's like, fuck you. It was great. Great little trade-off of twists. Fucking dickhead.
Shame.
I'll never forgive him.
Never ruin films for other people.
If you are a person that goes online as well on Twitter and posts spoilers, you're an absolute tosser. It's not fair. It's horrible if you do that. If you talk about what happens in the film to the point where you're just giving away everything, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Just to prove that you've seen the film. I hate that. I hate it. Everyone does that with like Marvel films. They go on and so quick to say, oh, this character popped up. Deadpool 3 is going to be a nightmare. When it comes out, I'm literally going to have to go offline for like
unless we're going to see it opening weekend.
No, that'll be full of dickheads in that show. I'm not having that.
When does it come out again?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know where anything's coming out. I just know they're coming out.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the film. Yes. So the sword is stolen and there is the first real fight scene that we get to see, which is Michelle Yeoh chasing Zhang Zi through the town. And
she doesn't know that it's her because the thief has their face covered.
Ninja outfit, basically.
Yeah, basically.
So question. This chase kicks off.
Yep.
And you get a lot of floating.
Yep.
How do you feel about the floating in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
I didn't mind it, and I've never minded it, and perhaps because it was my first instance of all of that when I first saw the film, and so I still don't mind it, and I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me at all.
Genuinely, I'm not kidding. I'm not sure there's a film that's done floating better. I don't think Hero did it better. I don't think any film since Crouching Tiger has done it better. It is so unbelievably beautiful because they almost fly. It's almost not like floating, but I love when they fly through the air, they pedal
with
their legs.
Yeah.
Like they're propelling themselves.
Right.
I love that. I love that because it looks like it's magic. It looks like it's a fantasy world. I love that. I think it's fantastic. And to be honest, like I mentioned earlier, I forgot how good the fight scenes were. When there's one problem in the opening fight scene, when Zhang Zi and Michelle Yeoh are fighting, there's a few close-ups where you can't quite make out what's going on. But when the camera goes wide, unbelievable. The moves are so crisp, so beautiful, and the opening fight has an amazing concept to it, which in previous years when I've watched this film, I've completely dismissed. So obviously they can float; they're heroes, or they're imbued with some kind of power, and they can float. And the whole first fight is Michelle Yeoh keeping Zhang Zi on the ground, and she's locking her legs. It's like leg moves, locking of legs, and traps.
Honestly,
and she's pulling her down.
That honestly was probably maybe my favorite
fight
of the whole movie.
Yeah, it's really good. You're wrong, but okay.
Well, okay, yeah, the one later. I mean, but I think the fights between those two are my favorite.
Well, that was very rude. I shouldn't have said you're wrong because that's subjective. I shouldn't have said that. Yes, I don't necessarily agree with you, but I do think the opening fight is fantastic.
Yeah, but I suppose my favorite fights are between those two.
Yeah.
The weapons one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute.
I forgot about that scene.
Did you?
Talk about a weapons fight.
Talk about a weapons fight.
Talk about a weapons fight.
Me and you, a few weeks ago, me and Devin, if you follow the channel, the YouTube channel, or subscribe to the YouTube channel, I should say, me and Devin did an episode of what we call Fight Bites, in which I sat down, Devin, and we watched two of what I think are the greatest weapons fights of all time. One from Odd Couple, the Sammo Hung Lao Kar Wing film, and one from Legendary Weapons of China, Lao Kar Lung, Lao Kar Wing, the finale. Great fights. I just wanted her to see them and kind of just say which one she prefers, what she likes about them, etc., etc. If I was going to throw in a third weapons fight to show someone the three best weapon fights of all time, it would be the one from Crouching Tiger. It's got variety. Yep. It's got unbelievable fight choreography. Yep. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's even got comedy when she picks up the big one and falls backwards.
Yep.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's a perfect fight scene. Unbelievable. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Yeah, and the first one, you're absolutely right, when she's trying to pull her down. The way they run up the wall is incredible as well. And she, like, cuts her off. Just, it's just amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. And, yeah, I believe I saw, you know, Max Zhang. You won't probably know him. He's the, do you remember Ip Man 3?
No.
Oh, there's another Wing Chun master that fights Ip Man in Ip Man 3. It's a guy called Max Zhang. I'm sure we've done a Max Zhang film. I just don't remember what he is. I think I spotted him doubling for Zhang Ziyi during the weapons fight.
Okay.
I think I was like, I think that's Max Zhang. But that's by the by. Yeah, there's so many interesting moments in this film. Like, there's moments between Li Mubai and Xu Lian. Am I saying her name right? I am, aren't I? Yeah, Xu Lian, yeah. Where she, like, feigns that she doesn't recognize Chow Yun-Fat's love for her. Hmm. Like, she pretends she doesn't recognize it, but I think she does.
Right.
There's a lot of, like, unspoken stuff in this film, which, and it's all done, like we said earlier, it's all done through facial expressions and eyes, and it's all very, very good. There's more to this film than just dialogue, I think.
Can we talk about the relationship between Jen and Jade Fox?
Yeah, please do. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, Jade Fox, like we said, is the villain of this story. Everyone's looking for Jade Fox, and they all suspect that she is infiltrated or hiding in Jen's family, the governor. Her father is the governor in his household, and she has been...
Not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. She has been Jen's... She's her governess, basically, and has been since she was a child. And so in doing so, she's taken her under her wing and taught her, what's it called?
I know, I can't, I don't remember.
The martial arts style from,
Dao something.
From Wudan Mountain.
Yeah.
And there's this relationship where she, you know, every time Jen interacts with Michelle Yeoh, she warns her, like, you don't want to be, you know, around those people, that those people bring, you know, dishonor to your father's house and this and that. And, you know, her trying to basically mother her. But, and then there's that moment where they're fighting against Chow Yun-Fat, against Li Mubai. And she sees how good Jen is as far as martial arts, how she's actually better than her. And then she kind of turns on her. We don't know that until later in the movie, but then she makes this comment at the end of the movie where she turned into her enemy then.
Yeah.
Because basically when Jade Fox killed Li Mubai's master, she stole, like, the manual for their kung fu style. And that's what she used to train off of, but she could never decipher most of it. And it turns out that Jen had done so, but didn't share it.
So is Jade Fox, is she angry at Jen because Jen defied her in stealing the book? Or is she just angry because she's better than her?
I think she's angry because she's better than her. I think she feels betrayed by her.
Definitely.
That she, you know, introduced this to her, that she was supposed to be her, Jen's master, but yet, and, you know, she felt disrespected when Li Mubai's master wouldn't teach her kung fu, which is why she killed him. And that, you know, women should be able to be just as good, if not better. And so she stole that manual to be good. And she could never progress because there were things in it that she couldn't decipher. But yet her pupil deciphered it, learned it on her own and hid it from her, and then didn't share it with her.
Yeah.
So the pupil surpassed
the master.
Her master.
Yeah.
And how she purposely, just as a child, was deceptive from the beginning and kept it from her all those years.
Yeah, and again, it's like a petty teen, like, I'm gonna learn, I'm gonna keep it to myself, I'm gonna learn this.
There's this one moment where she was just like, where she said, where was it? I should have written this down, where she was talking about how she had deciphered it and kept it to herself. And Jen made this comment, like, even if I had tried to explain it to her, you wouldn't have understood it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have gotten it.
Zing.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Burn right there.
Cold-blooded. And yeah. That was a thought that she had as a kid, which is why she didn't share it with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a theme about gender in this film? About women wanting to be as strong as men?
Or even just having the ability to make their own choices. I think in that time, women.
And that's the most fantasy thing about the whole world, am I right? Women being as good as men, fellas. High five me, fellas.
Uh-huh.
Fellas, I hope you're doing this, fellas.
Yeah, that Jen wasn't allowed to make her own choices. She had to be. A dutiful daughter, and if she didn't,
I just want you to know. Sorry,
dutiful daughter, and then if she, and how not to bring dishonor to her family.
You've dishonored my home, and you've dishonored a Shaolin temple. Mm-hmm. Bruce Lee says that in Enter the Dragon.
Oh, does he?
I think I got the quote wrong there. yes, and I also like the fact that again. Jen is pulled between the villainy of Jade Fox, who is trying to craft her and make her into this villain, mm-hmm. and the heroics of Limu Bai, because she wants to be like Limu Bai. She wants to be a celebrity.
She wants to be a celebrity. She wants freedom, and a part of her, wants to, I think, be better, be the best. And
yeah.
She knows that he's good, but it's all wrapped up in this kind of bratty petulantness where she rebels and acts out against him. All he's ever said is, I want to teach you.
Yeah. I think one of the saddest bits in this film is actually, I can't remember when this is in the film, is when Limu Bai gets the sword back. And I think we're skipping something. We'll go back to it in a second. And he's practicing.
We're bouncing around a lot.
Yeah, true. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Everyone's seen this fucking film anyway. He's practicing with his sword, right? This is my practicing with sword, apparently. This is my mime. He's practicing with his sword. I should hold it. He's practicing with his sword. And Xu Lien, Michelle Yeoh, goes, the sword is back.
Mm-hmm.
She means a lot. By that, I think that's one of the saddest moments in the film, I think, because he's been trying to give away the sword so he can give in to her and give his love to her, and her saying the sword is back isn't going, oh, the sword is back,
oh, you got your sword back.
She's going, shit, the sword's back, I think. She's not happy about it being back, because that means he's practicing a sword play again. He's picking it up again. And of course, he does that because he goes, oh, I have to get Jade Fox. Like, this isn't over. I have to avenge my master.
And he says it wasn't until he got it back where he realized how much he missed it.
And that's it. That's it. It's about duty versus emotion, I think, a lot of this film. I think so.
Yeah.
It's because, there's the whole duty of marriage, Jen goes through. I think there's a duty versus emotion thing here, and I think it's so sad when she goes, oh, the sword is back. He's like, oh, the bitch is back. She's not happy with that at all.
This bitch is back.
Yeah, exactly. And she knows that the pull of the sword, it might be greater than the pull of her love, which is really, really sad. They kept talking about Jiang Hu in this film, and I didn't know what Jiang Hu was. I looked it up, and it's a community of martial artists in Wuxia stories.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was. So, we're gonna fleetingly dash over characters. There's a father and daughter who are also after Jade Fox. And
the undercover police detective.
Yes, policeman. He's an undercover policeman. He's bringing his daughter along for some reason, and they are after Jade Fox as well. And there's a fight scene in the film where they kind of everyone fights.
Right,
everyone fights in this one scene. Again, it's a fucking phenomenal fight scene. Great stuff. And the father, he gets it tough.
Mm-hmm.
He gets, I think they're called deer antlers, those blades.
Oh, okay.
Or something like antlers, I think they're called. And he gets one in his head.
Yes.
And he gets killed.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Devin briefly after the film. I was just like, do you know what annoys me? They never go back to the daughter. We don't know what happens to the daughter. If I was after Jade Fox and Jade Fox then killed my father, I would be even more mad at her and would want to go after her even more.
And my perspective was, so in this fight, it was Jade Fox, her dad, the daughter, one of like Governor Yu's like guards or whatever that guy was, and Li Mubai. And so the daughter, she's not, no competition for Jade Fox.
Jade Fox? That's another kind of woman.
she's no match. I mean, Jade Fox just easily was like, meh to you. And, you know, apparently, and then her father, the police officer who's supposed to be very good in martial arts. Jade Fox had actually killed her mom, who's supposed to be very good at martial arts. And so I think the daughter very smartly was like,
hell no.
Right. She just killed my dad. I'm now by myself. I am no match for her. I think I think she was just like, she was worried. She was wondering if Jade Fox was going to come after her next or again. But you're right. But then, so that's basically the last scene.
Never see her again.
Basically the last scene that we see her in, where she's, you know, talking about, talking to the guard about, you know, he was watching over the over her house.
You have a question about this.
And she was just like, if she comes, she comes.
So the guard that's outside, I think he's called Master Bo. I think I looked it up. His name is Bo. He's kind of the comedy relief earlier on because he's kind of useless. He's not a great fighter. He is protecting her, the daughter. He's outside her house, kind of patrolling, watching, making sure Jade Fox doesn't come along. And she, the daughter, comes out and goes, why don't you come in? You know, it's cold outside. And he's like, no, I'm protecting you, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, come in. Can you please answer this? Because we have different perspectives on it. I'm thinking she's like, come on in. We're going to have a bit of a schmooze.
You're crazy. What? She looks sad and depressed. She looks like she's going to kill herself. I think she was just being nice. Like, you know,
going to cheer her up more than some sweet lovemaking.
I do not think so. I think she was just like, it's cold outside. Just come inside.
Yeah, I feel like I could be wrong. But when watching the film, I was like, oh, she's coaxing him in. She's,
no way.
She's warmed up to him as a hero.
Nothing about her said any of that. She looked like she was going to slit her wrist. She was sad and depressed. There was nothing.
If any man.
There was nothing come hither about any of that.
If can I, come hither. Good use of come hither.
Thank you.
If any man knows when a lady's flirting, it's this guy over here. Mm-hmm. I was never good at that. Never good at picking up when women are flirting with me. Do you know why?
Why?
Because women didn't flirt with me. You did.
I did.
All right, next part.
Yes.
I read people online that don't like this film. That wasn't a sentence. There are some people that don't like this film, and online in their reviews, they give it like 3 stars. They write, I don't like the flashback. Because it takes away from the film. It's too disjointed from the rest of the film. How do you feel about the flashback, the desert flashback?
So, my feeling about that, and I can understand where they're coming from.
As can I.
Because I remember my first time watching it, I remember being... How old was I when this came out? This was 2000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so then I was 17. So, I remember feeling, like that was
disjointed.
Yeah, maybe I did feel like it was disjointed, that it was something else happening in the movie. And I remember being kind of confused by it, not confused by it, but just not feeling like it.
Confused by the tonal shift.
Maybe. Now watching it now, I mean, I don't feel like it's 100% necessary.
Okay.
Or at least to have that long of a flashback. I mean, I get, you know, they're introducing Dark Cloud. I get that. More of her kind of stubbornness and petulance and her wanting to, I guess, more of an example of her wanting to lead that kind of adventurous hero life. So I understand that. Maybe I just feel like it was too long.
Okay. And I fully understand that, absolutely. Weirdly, I did the opposite this time around. Mm-hmm. I think in previous, I think I felt the same way, that I was, oh, maybe a bit disjointed, maybe like the tonal shift is, it feels wrong or off. I loved it this time around.
Okay.
It really worked for me just simply as a way of building more of Jen and giving us more of Jen than the petulant child. She can love. Mm. She can be respectful to someone. It takes a while. Takes her a while to get there.
Yeah.
And he is, I love that he represents the freedom she wants.
Right.
He is the free spirit. Dark Cloud is the complete free. He's the only true free spirit in this entire film.
Yeah.
And she wants that, but she wants two things. See, this is where it gets interesting. This is where I'm saying those conflicted themes. She wants freedom, but she wants to be a hero. Heroics do not come with freedom. You are tied down, like Michelle Yeoh says. Mm-hmm. And I think she wants both, and she can't, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So I think it's very interesting that he represents the freedom she craves. Limu Bai represents, well, in some way, Xu Lien represents the heroics that she craves, but she can't have any of it. And at the end, she can't have any of it.
Right.
Because her indecisiveness, her petulance results in the end to her downfall, results in her downfall. But I love the flashback. I love how kind of smooth he is.
Oh, yeah, he's a smooth motherfucker.
She stabs him and he's like, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, he's a smooth motherfucker.
He's like, you want a bath? Bath? I'll go singing. I'll go. Although,
charming.
Also, he is charming. Very charming.
Very charming.
Absolutely very charming. Also, she has a bath in House of Flying Daggers as well. There's a scene that's just like that in House of Flying Daggers. But in House of Flying Daggers, he clangs two swords because she's blind. He clangs two swords together to let her know that he's around.
Oh, right.
But then he hangs it from a tree and it knocks against the tree, and he stood there watching her bathe.
Oh, yeah.
Not Dark Cloud.
I forgot about that.
Dark Cloud's a respectful, charming gentleman.
He is indeed.
Yeah, I like the flashback. I think it builds. I think it gives another look at the world. It expands the world, and I appreciate anything that does that. It doesn't feel like so claustrophobic.
Okay.
And I like that. And so I wrote some interesting stuff. She says, you're a little boy looking for shooting stars.
Mm-hmm.
Is she not a little girl looking for shooting stars? Meaning heroics,
right.
Meaning, yeah, she's looking for things. I found that quite interesting. Anyway, yeah, she goes to get married, and then Dark Cloud comes out of nowhere and says, join, come with me, run right. away, escape. Right. And then that's where things kind of, the plot thickens a little bit, because Xu Lien discovers Dark Cloud, and Limu Bai steps in and takes him to Wudan Mountain to wait for Jen.
Right.
And
they try to get her to
matchmake, essentially, right?
Right. But also to try to like give up Jade Fox and like leave Jade Fox behind and join, be good, basically.
Yeah.
And she doesn't.
And yeah, Jen runs away.
Yep, she runs away. She steals the Green Destiny again and runs away to try to roam about and be what?
A hero.
A hero?
Yeah.
No, she doesn't act. She's not acting very heroic. She's acting,
no.
She's acting like an ass.
Yes, I think she's.
By basically disrespecting people.
Well, that's it, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's got it all wrong.
Yeah.
She's got everything wrong.
Yeah.
She doesn't. She has the wrong attitude to be a hero,
by the way. Yeah, there's no humility.
There's a great bit. You nailed it there. No humility. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a little bit before that where Jen is talking to Limu Bai about, I don't know what she says, talking about Dark Cloud, and she says something. And Limu Bai says, you wouldn't say that if you truly loved him. If you watch that scene, watch Michelle Yeoh's face.
Mm.
Because she makes, basically, what do you know about love face to him? Like, how dare you talk to her about love when you can't give in to your, you know, your own love?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Subtleties to this film. I was getting to a fight scene, wasn't I?
Was it the ones that she starts?
That's it. That's what I was getting to. Which is slight comedy relief. There's some comic moments in
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You get all these... I think, what are they, villains, essentially?
I don't think
masters,
they're villains. Yeah,
challenging
masters. Yeah, they're fighters.
Yeah, and they've got a broad a number of weapons. There's a Shaolin monk in there, and they all challenge her. And to be honest,
she disrespects them, and which causes them to want to fight her because instead of acknowledging them, she just ignores them.
But one of them is also a cheat. He calls himself Iron Arms, and then he's wearing like metal bracelets on his arms, so he's a cheater. And she reveals it. There's always the classic bit when she's drinking tea and she's blocking him with her hand, which is really cool. Then there's this brilliant fight scene where she destroys them all. She doesn't kill anyone,
no,
but she injures them heavily. But at the same time, she trashes this entire restaurant. But she's flying, backflipping, floating. It's so good.
Right.
Yung Woo-ping really had an eye. Oh, he still has an eye for fight scenes. Just an absolute legend. Why? Are we going long?
We're at 50.
Oh, we can. Oh, no, it's okay. We're good. We're good on time. 50 is good.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you don't have to whisper. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
This is free. You can say whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just including listener questions, too. I guess we never.
Yeah, but we're getting to him now. We're getting to the end of the film.
Okay.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Okay.
I once killed a man. I did not. So then fast forward a bit, she basically goes back. I don't really know why she goes back to Michelle Yeoh other than she wants to consider her sister. And she's like,
I think she even like forever, however short period of time that she was on her own, I think it was part of it is she was lonely. I think maybe she was like, this isn't what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
On the brief time that she had run away, I don't know.
True. Yeah.
Or maybe she was just like, maybe she just went to her for like comfort and advice
needed
a friend. So she ends up at Michelle Yeoh's place.
And Michelle Yeoh says, hey, Dark Cloud, he's waiting for you at Wudang Mountain. And she goes, you betrayed me. You're fucking blah, blah, blah. And Michelle Yeoh goes, you're going to talk to me like that in my house?
Basically,
awesome.
Yeah. Basically, Michelle Yeoh like goes off on her.
And then you get the big weapons fight. Quick question about the weapons fight.
Yeah.
Which was your favorite weapon? I have to ask.
Oof. So, Zhen has the Green Destiny, and Michelle Yeoh, she whips out a bunch of different weapons to fight against her.
There should be a band that does Destiny Child covers, but only in Mandarin, and it should be called Green Destiny Child.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
No, it wasn't great.
No. maybe the spear.
You like the spear?
Yeah, the spear wasn't bad.
Interesting.
Wait a minute. No, scratch that. Scratch that. The hook thing.
I knew you were going to say that because that was my favorite.
Yeah, the hook things.
When she's trapping the sword and pulling it down every time.
Yeah.
And she puts them together and does the... Yeah,
yeah, the hook things.
Hook swords. More films need hook swords. Need them. It's a good... They're a weird sword.
Yeah, they definitely seem like they would take some skill.
Yes, yes. They're very decent, though. I like them.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you something. Oh, yeah. The interesting thing about this film, just a quick tidbit, is neither Michelle Yeoh or Chow Yun-fat speak Mandarin. And the entire film's in Mandarin. But they're not dubbed. Yeah. Apparently, people that speak Mandarin watch this film and go, fucking Chow Yun-fat shit in it. His Mandarin accent is garbage.
Oh, really?
Isn't it funny how as Westerners...
Yeah.
We watch it and we're just like, oh, yeah, you're speaking Mandarin. Okay.
What language does Chow Yun-fat speak?
Cantonese.
Oh, duh. Okay. Yeah.
And Michelle Yeoh's Malaysian.
Yeah, that I knew.
She learned her entire script phonetical.
Right.
So they gave it her phonetically and she learned that way
for
Crouching Tiger. And Chow Yun-fat was just like, yeah, I'll get by. I think he spoke some Mandarin and learned a bit more. But yeah, Mandarin speakers are like, oh, his accent is terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? That we wouldn't pick on that, which makes me wonder if someone from America does an American, that's what they're called. If an American does a British accent in a film, someone from the UK will go, oh my God, that's shit. Would someone from China go, oh yeah, it's pretty good? Because they don't hear the distinction. Right. Interesting. I never contemplated that, really.
But no one said anything about Michelle Yeoh, because I feel like Michelle Yeoh, she was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to...
I think they say she's a lot better.
Yeah. I'm going to try to do it as best as I can.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We're nearing the end now. So... yeah, we get a scuffle with Michelle Yeoh and Zhang Ziyi, and then famously we get, I think, what the film is really known for in terms of imagery. We get the bamboo fight, right. The bamboo forest
right.
fight between Li Mu Bai and Chen.
Right.
Do you know what? Holds up 100%.
Yeah.
Just stunning. A beautiful, beautiful. They're so high up, and the lush bamboo forest out behind them.
Yeah.
It is so incredible. The cinematography by the Dracula 2000 cinematographer is absolutely amazing in this film. It's so beautiful, and the way they're balanced and swaying. And oh, my God. Did you spot any wires in this film?
No.
I spotted one.
Oh, really?
We were watching the film in 4K, right? So I was watching it thinking, oh, no, it's 4K. We're going to spot some wires. I spotted one.
Yeah, I didn't see a single one. And it's
the first wire that's used in the entire film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Someone floats out of a building, and I just spotted it. Rest of the film, I didn't spot any.
Yeah, I didn't see a thing.
Really good. I don't know if they went in and digitally did some work, but incredible. Anyway, the bamboo forest fight, just wonderful. Jen still isn't close to Li Mu Bai. Like, he's the king of this shit.
Yeah.
He's a big papa pump. And they have a scuffle, they have a fight. And how did they get under the waterfall?
So she wants the sword back, and he was like, if you want it, you know, go get it. And he throws it, and it lands, it goes down a waterfall, and she jumps in and gets it. And in her, the water's rushing, and she's trying to grab the sword. And so she kind of drowns a little.
drowns a little.
I mean, she was like face down, like floating in the water. So she drowns a little.
Okay.
And then Jade Fox comes by and swoops her up. And then that's kind of... And then so she kind of... Jade Fox kind of nurses her back and like, you know, it'll be us again and this and that. And she kind of drugs her to keep her in this cave while she goes and... lures
Li Mu Bai
and Michelle Yeoh and the rest of them to her, and to basically set up this trap. And in the end, she ends up getting killed with one of her
needles.
With her poisonous needles. But then,
oh no, wait!
But then also Li Mu Bai also stabs her with the green destiny.
No, he breaks her sword.
Oh, that's right. He flying back into her. Sorry, that's right.
It's dope.
Yeah, he break. Yeah,
nasty death.
And then she reveals that she was trying to kill Jen.
All along.
And that and how she was her enemy and how like what I forget her exact words, but
you're my betrayer about, yeah
right, like, yeah my betrayer and right and ultimate. How yeah and how something like, you know, the worst thing is like this little girl who betrayed me, an 8-year-old girl who
that plotted against me, like how someone so young can betray me and blah blah blah
right. But then it also reveals then that in the scuffle Li Mu Bai does get
needle to the neck.
Poisonous needle to the neck, yeah. And so now he's been poisoned and gonna die.
And yeah, it's quick poison that's gonna make his blood flow backwards and ultimately kill him. Jen goes, wait, I know of a cure. So think about it. This is the moment where technically, Jen becomes the hero. Because she goes, I'm going to go and get the cure.
Right. She was like, I can do this.
Yes, I can do this. Just stay alive.
Right.
And I will be back. And she runs off to get the cure or antidote, I should say. Sorry. Right. Surprise, surprise.
Doesn't make it in time.
Li Mu Bai doesn't make it. And he has some lovely last words.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that whole shit about being a ghost by her side.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Almost went.
Basically, yeah, he finally says the words that I am in love with you. I have been in love with you. And the worst mistake of my life is to have not been with you.
Yeah. And he says, I'd rather be a ghost by your side than go to heaven, which is incredible. And sadly dies. Michelle Yeoh does a fantastic crying scene, very emotional. And Jen turns up and, too little, too late, sadly. And it all goes to shit because it's all ended badly. It's all terrible.
Jade Fox tried to kill her and reveals how, betrayed and hurt that she felt because of Jen. Li Mu Bai is dead.
And Xu Lien can't live without Li Mu Bai. She loves him.
Right.
And he's gone. And worst thing, best thing, but worst thing, he finally confessed his utter love to her, mm-hmm. and he died. Like, that's been one of the hardest things to live with.
Yeah.
So the film ends with Jen going to Wudan Mountain and seeing Dark Cloud for one last time, and they spend a night together. And in the morning, Jen kills herself.
Jumps off a bridge.
And she kills herself, in my eyes, because she realizes that she's broken everything. Mm-hmm. And she refuses to live with her love, which is Dark Cloud, when she has snatched Xu Lien's love from her. Mm-hmm. By letting Limu Bai die. So it's all kind of an emotional whirlwind at the end. Lots of emotions going on, lots of thoughts, lots of feelings. But it turns into kind of one large mess that technically doesn't get solved by Jen killing herself.
No.
But she thinks there's nothing I can do. I've ruined it and I'm done. I how dare I spend the rest of my life with the man I love?
But also a part of it. So Dark Cloud had told the story about that bridge and how if you jump off that bridge, you make a wish. And if you jump off that bridge, it'll come true. And so what was her wish for him?
I don't remember.
I forget.
I should have written it down.
Yeah, I forget. But I think that's also a part of it, too. I think, you know, she doesn't want to destroy him, too.
Yes. So. She's a bad apple. Mm-hmm. yeah, beautiful film. Incredible film. Mm-hmm. Even just talking about it again, it gets me even more excited for it.
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. I gave it 5 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Blew my socks off once again. And would you give it 5 out of 5?
Yeah, we'll give it
a little more stingy than I am.
We'll give it a 5 out of 5.
Okay. Sadly, the sequel does not live up to the first one.
Sequel?
I think we've watched it. You haven't seen the sequel?
Oh, The Green Destiny. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what it's called, right?
Yeah. Donnie Yen's in it.
I don't even remember it.
Okay.
To be perfectly honest.
It's as a kung fu film, mm-hmm. it's fine. Mm-hmm. As a sequel to Crouching Tiger, it's a fucking nightmare. Like, it doesn't shit on the sequel. It's just so much worse than the original. That it's like, oh my god, they should. And Yu Wu-Ping directs it.
What's it even about?
The Green Destiny. Jason, who's the guy that plays Bruce Lee in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story?
Jason Scott Lee, yeah.
Jason Scott Lee's the bad guy in it. Which is wild.
Yeah, I 100% don't remember that.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a fine film, but I would tell everyone, if you've just watched the first Crouching Tiger, give it a good 6 months before you watch the sequel. Otherwise, you'll watch the sequel and be like, what is this garbage? It's not terrible. It's got some solid fights, but it's just Yu Mu-Ping does not have the eye for cinema that Ang Lee has, and just he can't pull it off. It's a bad idea.
Okay.
But yeah, Crouching Tiger, fantastic film. Honestly, I'll say it again, I was so surprised by the fight scenes. They are long, they are incredible, and there's a lot of them. This is a true, Devin said at the start that this is a romance, but I'll tell you something, it is a fucking kung fu film.
Absolutely.
It is a kung fu film through and through. Wuja film, fine, but it is a kung fu film. Ang Lee knew what he was doing. Yeah, great stuff. That I'm kind of looking forward to Ang Lee's next film, which is going to be a Bruce Lee biopic, which will be interesting.
Interesting.
And Ang Lee's son is playing Bruce Lee.
Interesting. Mm.
You want some questions?
Hit it.
All right. Nah. this one's quite funny from Matt Merritt, my good buddy at Keep Forward Productions. He is on Instagram, makes some very, very dope short films with some decent, that's mean, with some fucking amazing fight scenes. Decent. Who the fuck am I? and he says, if you were in a Wuxia film, what would your character's name be?
Oof.
I've got mine.
What's yours?
Mayonnaise Bear.
Mayonnaise Bear.
Yeah.
Huh. What would mine be? Oh, boy. Mine would be the Red Panda.
The Red Panda. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
The Red Panda.
I'll take that.
Okay.
That's pretty good. Elijah PDX, he sends in question for the gang. When have you experienced a profound sense of awe?
a profound sense of awe. That's a tough one. Trying to remember a moment.
I got a proper cheesy answer.
I feel like my answer, our answers are probably the same.
Go on.
Oh, I was going to say maybe our wedding.
That was my answer.
Exactly. See?
There is a profound sense of awe when you see your wife-to-be in a wedding dress walking down the aisle towards you, and you're stood there and you know you're about to marry that woman. Everything slows down. I know this sounds corny.
Your dress is awesome, too.
But your dress was amazing. Everything slows down. I mean, there's a picture right behind you, actually, of us. but they can't see it.
Yeah.
Everything slows down, and it's just a moment of, like, the panic goes. Before that, you may be worried or stressed. The panic goes, and in that moment, you're just like, wow, this is it, and I am the luckiest man on earth. So I think I got a sense of awe when I first saw Devin. To be honest, I got a sense of awe when the first moment I ever saw Devin. True story. She ran at me and gave me a big hug. And I was just like, oh, wow, this is not just a hug. I was like seeing her. I was just like, oh, okay, this is a special lady.
Yeah. My aunt was probably during our vows.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just so happy and so excited and just profoundly just overwhelmed with emotion, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of cheesy answers coming from us.
I know, right?
Oh, I'll say another time. Genuinely, another time I was in awe, and I was in awe, I'm not kidding, for about 2.5 hours straight. I promise you, when we went to see Hamilton.
Oh, the first time we saw Hamilton?
Well, first time we saw Hamilton, I was just like, because I didn't know what I was in store for. I had no idea really what Hamilton was at all. No clue. I was just like, thought it was a corny play about Hamilton. I didn't even know who Hamilton was. And I was like, all right, let's see how this goes. And it kicks cool in.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, cool. It's a musical. And I was just like, a hip-hop musical? And then for the next 2.5 hours, I was like, it's Hamilton's fucking... Seeing Hamilton live, we've seen it twice, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's certain plays we've gone to see that have completely left my brain. We saw Lion King. Couldn't tell you a thing about it. Couldn't tell you any of the songs. Couldn't tell you what happens. Couldn't tell you what it looked like. It's gone from my brain.
I mean, if you remember the movie, if you remember the animated movie.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. Book of Mormon we went to see.
Book of Mormon is hysterical.
Don't remember that.
But, okay, so if we're going for musicals, my moment of awe, 100%, was, you know, Hamilton is fantastic. But Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking defying gravity.
Oh.
God damn it.
Oof.
And of course, we're not talking about like the Broadway play where, you know, with the original cast. We're talking like we've been to the Kennedy Center in DC. But whoever it was for the run that was doing it when we saw it, this woman's voice was amazing. And doing that thing, you know, where she like rides oh my God. So defying gravity from Wicked, that moment was fantastic. I was nearly in tears. It was so fucking good.
It really was. And since it came out...
Musicals are awesome.
I think it came out 20 years ago. I think it's 20 years ago we're celebrating the anniversary. I could be wrong.
For Wicked?
No, I'm about to say something else. Oh. It's an anniversary that someone saw. Oh, maybe it's not. Maybe 5 years? 10 years ago? I don't remember. It's some years ago to the day on Friday that this came out. And I would argue with anyone to say you didn't experience awe in this.
What?
Sat down in the movie theater, if you didn't go, oh my God, when Captain America picked up Thor's hammer.
Oh.
No way. Everyone in the entire theater was like, yeah! Just incredible. When it just comes back and he holds it. Oh, great. Great. So good.
Yeah.
And then fucking sweating. Yeah, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Also, when he says Avengers Assemble, is kind of cool as well. But the hammer bit. Oof, one of the most perfect cinematic moments I've ever seen. I loved that. Also, I get a sense of awe from a lot of fight scenes because I'm cheesy like that. A mock pal. I'm going to quickly answer your question because I have a very distinct answer for it. He says, "Question
is this just for you?
You can answer it, but you might struggle."
Okay.
He says, "If you could use one hip hop album as a soundtrack to a movie, what album would what movie?" You can give Cyrus and Devin the question ahead of time, too, which I didn't give you. But you're not a huge hip-hop fan.
No, let alone an entire album.
I'm going to flip this question a little bit, because I couldn't think of a hip-hop album that would coincide with a particular film. I think that they're so distinct from each other that it just didn't work. But I'll tell you this. If anyone out there is a massive hip-hop fan, there is an album that is a movie. The movie doesn't exist. But the album itself is a movie. It tells a story. It's got characters in it. It's got a beginning, middle, and end. There is an album by Prince Paul from De La Soul, and it's called Prince Among Thieves. It's got a whole bunch of rappers on it. It's got Big Daddy Kane. It's got Everlast. Breezy Bruin from Juggernauts. It's got a whole bunch of people on it. Loads of exhibits on it. Sada X is on it. And it's Prince Amongst Thieves, and it's an incredible album. And it's a fantastic movie to just sit down and listen to. And it tells an entire story, and it's just great. So I'm going to flip your question a little bit and say, if you want a perfect soundtrack to an actual movie that isn't a movie, Prince Amongst Thieves by Prince Paul.
I have a question for you. I have a question for you, courtesy of Rama.
Rama.
Rama Lama Ding Dong. So, Rama says, you have 7 films to do a blind ranking on.
7?
Yeah.
Good God.
Okay. Ready? All right. So, blind rank the following films in order.
Okay.
Clan of the White Lotus.
Nice.
Snake in the Eagle's Shadow.
Nice.
The Magnificent Butcher.
Nice.
Project A.
You're a fucker. What you've done is you've watched all our episodes and you've taken all the films I love.
Crippled Avengers.
Okay.
How many is that?
5?
Oh. Once Upon a Time in China 2.
Okay.
And what is it? Zoo Warriors from the Magic Mountain.
All right.
How do you say that? Z-U?
Zoo.
Zoo? Okay. Zoo Warriors from the Magic Mountain.
Zoo Warriors from Magic Mountain. Okay.
There you are, Rama. Oh, Rama's on Instagram right now. I should just be like, I just asked your questions. Okay.
Number one, I'm going to go through them. Okay. No, I can't go from the worst to the best. I'm going to go best to the worst. Okay. Number one, The Magnificent Butcher. Definitely.
Okay.
I think right now, Magnificent Butcher is my favorite kung fu film. I think. Maybe not, but close. Number two. What's the third film you said?
The third film is Magnificent Butcher.
Oh, what's the first film?
Oh, Clan of the White Lotus.
Okay. Magnificent Butcher, Clan of the White Lotus, Project A, although Project A might get switched with Clan of the White Lotus at some point.
Do you need me to run through them again?
No, it's Snake in the Eagle Shadow, Once Upon a Time in China 2, and Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's another one.
Clan of the White Lotus, Snake in the Eagle Shadow, The Magnificent Butcher, Project A, Crippled Avengers, Zoo Warriors, Once Upon a Time in China 2.
Once Upon a Time in China 2, Crippled Avengers, Snake in the Eagle Shadow, Zoo. That's Magnificent Butcher. Why am I forgetting them now? You got it. I can't remember the number two that I keep forgetting. Clan of the White Lotus. Number one, Magnificent Butcher. 2, Clan of the White Lotus, which is possibly interchangeable with number 3, Project A. Number 4 is Once Upon a Time in China 2. Number 5, Crippled Avengers. Number 6, Snake in the Eagle Shadow. Number 7, Zoo Warriors.
Okay. I just messaged Rama and said that I just asked your question, and Sean hates you for it.
Yeah.
He sent a voice recording.
Oh, play it. Play it down the mic.
Okay.
This is great. This is live.
Should be very grateful I didn't slip in a doozy. I was going to throw something like, you know, a Steven Seagal film in there. So you would have to place it higher than, like, Drunken Master 2. But I didn't. So I am a nice person. For now.
Did he send another one?
Yeah, there's another one.
I'll play another one.
Not that Drunken Master 2 was actually an option, because I didn't actually conclude that I meant to, but I didn't. So ignore that bit. But yes.
You can fuck off. You can fuck off putting Drunken Master 2 in there.
And there you have it. That is our longtime listener and patron, Mr. Rama.
And legendary Geordie. Legendary Geordie. If you don't recognize his accent or you can't understand him, don't worry. We can only understand like 75% of him most of the time. And by we, I mean Britain. British people, you know. The Geordie accent is very unique. But yeah. What, he was going to put a Seagal film in there? That would have been easy. Oh, I like some Seagal films, actually.
I know.
I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he left it at 7 and didn't make it 10. I'd struggle. Rama, speaking of you, I'm actually going to save your question that you gave me to next episode when Cyrus is here, because I think it's a really good one, and I think Cyrus might have an answer. Two more questions, very, very quickly. Question for the pod, since this is Kung Fu Corey. Since the Green Destiny is so absolutely badass and dominates throughout the film, I wanted to know if there was another signature weapon, martial arts related, or firearm from any other film that you loved. My top three is Darth Maul's lightsaber, Bruce Lee's nunchucks, Jon Snow's sword, which is Longclaw. I got a question.
Yes.
Why do people love Bruce Lee's nunchucks? They're the same as every other pair of nunchucks.
But I feel like it's more about him wielding them.
Oh, is it that I like them in the film? Or I want them myself? Oh, if you like them in the film, then yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay, sorry. Yeah,
I think it, because read back the exact question again. I think it's a signature, and so in that film, it's a signature weapon.
I wanted to know if there was another signature weapon from
that film.
In that
film, it's a signature weapon. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not just a weapon in general.
You got a weapon that you like?
A signature weapon.
You know what's the worst? You know what's the best worst weapon ever? It's really, really cool, but if you think about it, it's absolute garbage. Mm-hmm. The gun that Lance Henriksen has in Hard Target, the one shooter. You put the one bullet in it. It's cool, but it's also completely useless because it runs out of bullets right away.
Yeah, no thanks.
Signature
weapon. Signature weapon.
Do you know what? I've got one from a kung fu film.
Does it have to be a kung fu film?
He said kung fu or firearm.
Kung fu or firearm.
Honestly, I'm going to say it. If you've seen 10 Tigers of Kwang Tung, which we haven't actually done for the show, but I think we will at some point, Wang Lung Wei's, or Johnny Wang's, crazy golden woman, a weapon that he has. It's a woman with her hands above her head, and it's all in gold, and he fights with it like a staff. That weapon is fucking great. Bizarre. Truly bizarre. But if someone could give me that weapon, I would very much appreciate it. But yeah, that's a good one. I kind of love... Flying Guillotine. Oh, guillotine. Sorry, I used to say guillotine when I was a kid, right? And now everyone said, oh, it's guillotine. But for some odd reason, I flash back to a child and go, guillotine!
I would probably still say guillotine.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm used to saying.
I tried to say guillotine.
Guillotine.
Flying Guillotine from Master of the Flying Guillotine. What weapons you like? Robocop's gun? Indiana Jones's whip. Catwoman's whip. The Batarang.
Good one.
Oh, the Batarang's cool.
Is it?
Yeah. Especially the remote control one that he has in Batman Returns, I think.
Fair enough.
Where'd you get those wonderful toys?
Oh boy.
Also, if they ever made a film of it, fucking Eye of Thundera from Thundercats would be boss. Luke Skywalker's.
He mentioned a lightsaber already, so I was trying to think of something.
You're coming up with nothing.
I know. I'm trying to think of what the. I mean, there's been. I mean, plenty of. I know plenty of. I guess Captain America's shield.
Oh, that's a good one. Actually, I didn't even think about that.
I guess Captain America's shield.
He does use it in a multitude of cool ways.
Indeed, he does.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Also, the Gatling gun from Predator. I just like when he pulls it out. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
All painless. Wonderful stuff. Yeah, actually, the Captain America's shield's a good one.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
I'll go with that.
I wasn't going to... Is Iron Man's armor considered a weapon? Because if it is, I'm taking Iron Man's armor.
I mean, I suppose so, yeah. That's
cheating, though, isn't it?
Because that's... I mean, his whole suit is... That's what makes him awesome.
What's your favorite Iron Man armor?
The classic one.
From the first film?
Yeah.
Nice. I don't I can't remember what my favorite is. I don't like the one in the last film with the nanobots. One last question.
Yeah.
And it's for me. So I'm just going to quickly go over this question. I think we're probably running out of time, but it's a hip-hop related one from Martial Arts Film Freak, and he says, what is the stupidest verse or rap lyric that you can't help but love? He says, in Swagger of a Killer by Rap is a Martial Art, he says, the ninja with the shells still firing off at the tongue, bruh, riding through the streets, they screaming out cowabunga. And he says, and I fucking love it.
Cowabunga.
I could talk about this subject, I'm not kidding, for an hour. There's something... See, I don't love shitty lyrics. If we're talking about shitty lyrics, it's when Warren G goes, what's next, what's N-X-E-T, and he spells next wrong. that's the shittiest lyric ever, but it's very, very funny. But I like lyrics that are very... They try to be cool, but they kind of end up being dumb. So I'm going to go through a few. On a song called Intuition by Sage Francis, a guy called Jay Sonic says this, I rock rhymes as dope as Jennifer Lopez. It doesn't rhyme. It doesn't rhyme. But he tries so hard. I rock rhymes as dope as, and he says it in a very interesting way. He's like, I rock rhymes as dope as Jennifer Lopez, which kind of sounds good. Idan on Mic Manipulator says, my brain is packed with frames of accurate detail. I'd rather hug a tree than fuck around with an email. I love that one. That's one of my favorite lyrics. I think it's great. It's fun. If you ever want an entire song that's made up of the worst lyrics you've ever heard, listen to Black Shampoo off Wu-Tang Forever by Wu-Tang Clan. It's a You God song, just a solo You God song, and it's about beauty products, basically, or how he treats his women, and like, it's very weird. I've got three more. Thurston Howell the Third in Brooklyn Hard Rock says, shout out to my homies in Compton who still live with their mum and fight their brother for the top bunk. I like that one, big fan. Two more, and this is one of my favorites because it makes no sense. Tame One, rest in peace, on Slick Talking says, I'm the dark-skinned Christopher Walken, Slick Talking. What the fuck does the dark-skinned Christopher Walken mean?
He's a dark-skinned Christopher Walken.
But what's Christopher Walken? What? In what way? In what way is he like Christopher Walken?
Does he look like Christopher Walken?
Nothing like him.
Oh, well, then I got nothing.
Nothing like him.
Then I got nothing.
Yeah. And then the last one we listened to actually yesterday in the car, and we were listening to it, and I was just like, oh, God, it's so silly. On Uptown Anthem by Naughty by Nature, Vinny introduced himself as, you're chilling with a titty-feeling villain. Chilling with a titty-feeling villain. So I love this subject because I love kind of silly lyrics that sound really, really good, basically. I'm a big fan. Snoop Dogg's got a shitload of them.
I bet.
Anyway, we'll wrap it up. One thing I do want to talk about, everyone, is we do have a Patreon. By the
we
way,
do.
Thank you, everyone, for the questions. We really appreciate that you choose to do that. You don't
thank
have
you,
to.
Thank you, Rama, for guest starring on this
episode. Yeah, yeah. Why I pet. That's what Geordie say.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Patreon. Patreon.com/foodforthought if you want to come along and join the fun.
Yes.
We're doing a lot, actually. This week, we're posting three posts. I posted my special feature that I recently did for a Blu-ray, TerraVision's Game of Killers. I have a video essay on that, and I actually posted it on Patreon. If you haven't got the Blu-ray, you can watch it on Patreon. I also posted my recent review. I am now currently writing for filmcombatsyndicate.com, and I recently wrote a review for Enter the Clones of Bruce, the new Bruceploitation documentary. So I posted my review on Patreon. And lastly, Devin and I are doing a commentary tomorrow. And what are we doing a commentary on?
Batman and Robin, baby.
So we're gonna do a full-length commentary.
Classic.
Yeah.
Full of villains. Villains coming out.
Villain villains?
That's right.
Wow.
Coming out the wazoo.
Indeed. So come and join the fun if you want. If not, that's all good. But if you want to send us a few dollars, that'd be awesome. So our wonderful patrons, I'm going to list them off. Miles Bell, Alpha Rookie, Nick Martin, Nicholas Planchard, Amok Pal, Rama, Disconnected, Tristan Glover, aka Martial Arts Film Freak, Robert Christensen, Art School Dropout, shout out to them.
They've got something very exciting
coming out soon. I'm just going to throw this out there quickly. I'm a member of Art School Dropout's Patreon, and they gave us a sneak peek of their upcoming short film. Oh, baby! It's a fucking good one.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. The fighting just blew my socks off. Eloquent, James Glennie, Don Jitsu, yay! Tina, Benjamin, Dyson. Shout out to Dyson, not Dyson. shout out to all of you. Thank you so much. We really,
thank
really
you,
appreciate
you. You beautiful people.
You are beautiful. You're very beautiful. You're beautiful. and quick, before we go.
It's true.
Oh, you're doing that one.
Which one were you doing?
I'm doing the Pharrell song. Beautiful. I just want you to know
you're my favorite girl.
That one. That's what I'm doing.
I just want you to know that you are really special.
Check her out.
Why?
Good God. Calm down.
Marinating our Patreon.
Yeah. God, killing them.
That's what you get. That's what you get if you join our Patreon.
That's what you get. Even though you're getting that on the main episode. You get more of that on the Patreon, baby. If you want it,
right.
You got it.
You want a full-on concert? You know,
fucking
you don't want
scary
it.
Jay Blige over here. Sorry. Where was I? Yes, next episode.
Why did I marry?
I don't know.
No, that was good. That was fun. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. I thought that was all right. Next episode, we're actually going to be reviewing Once Upon a Time in Shanghai. I think. I tend to chop and change a little bit. But I'm very interested in Once Upon a Time in Shanghai. But the Patreon did just vote for our first Girls with Guns film.
Ooh.
Well, second, because we did shoot... She shoots straight. But we will be doing Angel Terminators. So, exciting stuff.
I think we should do that next.
Angel Terminators?
Yeah.
Yeah?
A big old contrast from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
To be honest, the woman has spoken. Scary Jay Blige has spoken. So, we do what she says, baby. So, we're actually going to do Angel Terminators next episode. So, I'll reveal on Instagram where you can get your hands on that. You can get your hands on it in multitude of places, I believe. But yeah, on that note, thank you very much, everyone. We really, really appreciate you for watching or
absolutely.
Listening. If you like what you see or like what you listen to, please subscribe, follow us, like,
send us
comment.
A thumbs up.
Send us what?
Send us a thumbs up.
A thumbs up. Smash that like button, as they say.
Share
by the way,
us with your friends.
Lots of people in the comments recently, and I love it. Lots of people like just chatting away in the comments. So thank you, everyone, for engaging. Really, really appreciate that. And we got more stuff coming in the line. Next week, I will have a fight bite. Nope, I will have a Kung Fu Station up. I'm not going to reveal who it is yet, but check out my Instagram. I will reveal that this
surprise.
Week. Mm-hmm. He has written a book, I will say that.
Ooh, yes. A learned man.
Learned man. A wise man. But on that note, we won't keep you any longer. Thank you so much, everyone. Take care, and we will catch you
next time.
Yeah, buddy.